No doubt our world is filled with people who are trying to acquire more and more knowledge. James wants us to know that possessing knowledge, especially worldly knowledge, is not helpful to us in our Christian life. It doesn't help us control our tongue. It doesn't help us control our conduct, our behavior. Having a high IQ doesn't help us control our tongue, control our behavior, control our attitudes. James wants us to know the only way that we can do those things is by possessing true wisdom from above. At the end of James chapter 3, we read this. James chapter 3, and I certainly hope you have your Bible so you can follow along, beginning in verse 13. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Now notice the comparison. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Who is the wise man? The first thing that James asks. Who is the one among you who is really those who understand? It's not the one that just has knowledge about the world or about some subject. He says the truly wise man shows his faith, shows his real self by his godly attitudes, by his godly deeds. Here's an example. Someone can have a lot of knowledge about the word love. May know its meaning, may know how to pronounce it in a number of different languages, may know its origin from other words, may know its history, but yet never practice it. James says that type of wisdom is from the world. Says the type of wisdom from above not only knows what love is, but actually practices it. And that is something that all of us need to know very, very well. We're not supposed to love in word or in our tongue, but in deed and in truth, 1 John 3:18. And he says, this is to be done or shown, he says, in the meekness of wisdom. We're not supposed to be arrogant or proud. But this type of meekness says that we're under control. We have self-control. And that's how it's supposed to be displayed. And now he gives characteristics or traits of earthly wisdom and then heavenly wisdom. And I think there's seven of each one if we write them down. First of all, the wisdom that's from below, the wisdom that's from the world. Notice how they all involve or center around one's own desires. First of all, he says the wisdom that is from above is filled with bitter envy or bitter jealousy. Back in Acts chapter 5, we have an excellent example of that. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12 and following, look at the example of what it means to have bitter jealousy or bitter envy. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They were filled with bitter envy. They were filled with bitter jealousy. Why? Because the apostles were doing all these marvelous things and people were following them and seeing what they were doing and gathering around them. So the Sadducees, because they were envious, said, "We've got to stop it." So what do? They gather them up, put them in prison. That is earthly, worldly wisdom. One that's characterized by that type of envy. He says it's also characterized by self-seeking or selfish ambition. Someone who is spending their time just trying to promote themselves. They're not concerned about another person anywhere. They're just concerned about making their life easier or getting what they want. See, they're self-centered. Judas was self-centered. He just thought about himself, even though he was an apostle. He was just concerned about himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes about this type of self-centered, being self-centered. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal or worldly people, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" See the difference between spiritual and worldly. Worldly people, worldly wisdom, envy, strife, divisions, trouble. It says that's earthly wisdom. He says also, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. But he also said even before then, do not boast and lie against the truth. Boasting, being arrogant, flattering yourselves. You may never been around someone that seemed to spend their whole time with you talking about how wonderful they were. That's what this word basically means. What you're doing is spending your time telling others about how great you are. That you've done this and you've done that and I know this and I know that. In other words, they're condescending to other people because they are so much better. James says that's worldly wisdom. That does not come from God in any way. Boasting. They also lie against the truth. Many who are arrogant and boast about how great they are live a life that's opposed to meekness. They're not meek in any sense of the term. He says they are earthly. That type of wisdom that comes from above is earthly. It's from this world. Paul had to fight that a lot in the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20 and following, you see how Paul had to fight that idea of worldliness and earthly, being centered in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul writes, "Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Now if you look in our society, how many people in our society think that preaching the gospel is foolishness? The vast majority. And what did it say here? It pleased God to have it that way. Because people center about or on this world. They think the world has all the answers. They think that science or medicine or technology can solve all their problems. James says that type of thinking comes from the world. Ultimately, it comes from hell. Because he said it's demonic. It comes from hell. Thinking that you can solve all the problems, that you have all the answers, that you can do all of that. James says that essentially comes from hell. That's its origin. Because you can't. Going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not worth persuasive words of human wisdom." Well, then he ought to stay off television. Because you can't be on TV and get a following with that type of characteristics. You can't be weak or in fear or in trembling or not have great speech or great persuasive words of human wisdom on television. Not if you want to have a great big following. But Paul says, that's how I came to you. I did not come to you in human, earthly, sensual wisdom. However, verse 6, "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing." The people in this world who place their faith and trust in human wisdom are coming to nothing. That's what James says, or Paul said. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." People still do not know the real Lord Jesus. A lot of people think they worship Him, and a lot of people think they're saved, and a lot of people think they believe in Him, but they don't even really know the real Lord Jesus. Because they're still putting faith in human wisdom and not in the wisdom from above. It says that's earthly wisdom. He also calls it sensual wisdom. This is the opposite of spiritual. This is animal-like wisdom. Carnal wisdom. See, that's what the world puts their faith in, that type of wisdom. Jude says they're like brute beasts. And just think about our world and how much faith it places in that type of wisdom. Wisdom of the world. James says that's coming to nothing. God is not going to ask you how much wisdom you have of the world. How much knowledge you have of the world. That's not going to be of any significance whatsoever. Says the wisdom that's important is the wisdom from above. James says, the seventh characteristic, he says it's actually demonic. He says that wisdom comes from hell. That's its source. That's its origin. It comes from hell. Doesn't come from above. James says there's only two types of wisdom. It either comes from above or it comes from below. He says there is not any other type of wisdom. The type that comes from below produces, it's envious and jealous and produces strife and divisions. It's immoral, it's corrupt, it's wicked, it's evil. It trusts in itself. It's arrogant, it's proud, it's boastful. That's the wisdom of the world. And notice the result of the wisdom of the world. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion is a very mild translation of the word. Maybe a better translation would be anarchy or chaos. That's how strong the term is in Greek. It's chaotic. It's like a frenzy. When you practice what the world practices without taking God into the picture, that's the type of world you live in. It's chaotic. It's a frenzy. It's not orderly. And he says it produces every evil thing, every vile practice, worthless practice, wicked practice, revolting practice, corrupt practice. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, Peter talks about and gives us an example of these type of depraved people. Now, the wisdom of the world produces depraved people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand. All you have to do is turn the radio on or TV or read some newspapers and you will see how many people speak evil of things they don't understand. And they will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you having eyes full of adultery. And that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and they are accursed children. Those people who live according to the world, earthly wisdom, that's the kind of world they live in, and that's what they practice. Now, James says that's earthly, sensual wisdom. But James says the type of wisdom that's from above produces something entirely different. Notice these characteristics of the wisdom from above. James says the wisdom that from above is first pure. And the word first, as it's used there, means that the primary or main characteristic of heavenly wisdom is purity. So that's the main characteristic. And from that one, these other six flow from it. It says the main one is purity, blamelessness, free from sin, uncontaminated with evil. In Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, notice what is said there. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul writes to Titus, "To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." It says that describes that type of person. So purity is the essential quality or characteristic of heavenly wisdom. From that, he says, comes peace. They're peaceable. They live in peace. It's the opposite of that selfish ambition. There's no rivalry. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." But James says, purity has to come before peace, not the other way around. It's purity first, then peace. They have to be peaceable. Then he says, they have to be gentle. This again is the opposite of being, you know, condescending and unkind. And so someone who's gentle is kind, considerate, respectful of other people. A good example of this is found in Matthew chapter 11. Shows us an example of someone who is gentle. And notice what is said. Matthew 11, verse 29. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Kind, considerate, respectful. He says the wisdom from above is also willing to yield, willing to listen. They're open to reason. They're approachable. They're not stubborn. They're not condescending. I don't know if you've ever met someone that was like that. It didn't make any difference what you said to them or what kind of things you showed them. They knew what was right. they thought. And it wouldn't make any difference what you showed them. They weren't going to change their mind. They weren't willing to yield. He says, being willing to yield shows that you're living from above. Not willing to yield, not willing to listen. He's not talking about compromising here. He's talking about willing to listen. If you're not willing to listen, he says, you're living like people in the world. If you're condescending, you're living like people in the world, not from above. He says also, full of mercy and good fruits, compassionate, ready to help people who are in need. And there are so many of those. He says, the wisdom from above is impartial. It's fair. There's no deception, no deceit. You're open. You're sincere, as he talks about in a moment. Recall the rich man and poor man in James chapter 2, and how some would treat the rich man oh so well and wanted him to come up front, but the poor man, when he came in, he says, oh, you find a place in the back or sit at my feet. He says, you need to be impartial. You need to be fair. That is showing that you're listening to the wisdom from above. And the last one, he says, is sincere. There's no hypocrisy in you. We talked about Paul being an example of that in our class this morning. He was genuine. There wasn't anything two-faced about it. Jesus condemned hypocrisy more than he condemned any other trait. He condemned hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 23. That must be something he was very concerned about. You and I, if we're going to live and have that type of wisdom, must be sincere. And he says, notice, this is what it produces. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What's the fruit? He says, it's righteousness. That's the fruit of heavenly wisdom. So when God's word is sown in peace, that's what he says, the conditions are good for righteousness to be produced. Let me repeat that. When God's word, remember about the sower, sowing the seed. When God's word is sown in peace, those type of conditions, then the conditions are good for righteousness to be produced. In other words, it can bring a real bumper crop of the right type of conduct. Remember, righteousness means right living, doing what's right. And it can produce a bumper crop of right living, right conduct. But it has to be and have its source and come from above. Righteousness, right living, right conduct cannot be produced by following the ways of the world. That's what James says. By following earthly wisdom, because that wisdom is from hell, and hell can't produce right living. It's impossible. Right living can only come from wisdom above. James talks a lot about contrast in his book. There's a right way to use your tongue and a wrong way to use your tongue. There's a right kind of wisdom, there's a wrong kind of wisdom. The right kind of wisdom is one that's when you hear the truth, then you respond to it. Because you have the right kind of heart. You're sincere. Your heart is open, you believe it, and you respond to it. And when you're opening up God's Word and you read and you find that you're not doing something right, if you're following heavenly wisdom, you're going to do whatever it tells you to do. And you keep reading God's Word and keep reading God's Word and keep reading God's Word, to make sure you're living according to heavenly wisdom. And when you find out you're not, you make whatever changes you need to make. This morning you may need to make changes. You may need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, or you may need to ask for prayers. Maybe you just need strength. Well, that's why we're here. So if anyone needs to respond, desires to respond, please come as David leads us in this next song. Let's stand, please.